So what a great day of worship already, and just what a really neat lead up to our text this morning, really our focus this morning. We look at the Lord's Prayer, Jesus prays. He says, you know, pray like this, forgive us our debts. And if you were in Sunday school this morning, we looked at David's prayer of confession in Psalm 51, and then we just heard this wonderful assurance of God's forgiveness and love, and Renee's special music this morning. And so the Lord, he's building a theme today, and he wants us to know, we're going to look at it later, Psalm, I think it's 84, you know, God is eager to forgive us. Isn't that a wonderful verse? God is eager to forgive us. Yeah, if you're feeling guilt today, or just regret, you just feel defeated, God is eager to forgive you. Yeah, he wants to demonstrate his abounding love to you. Let's pray today. Lord God, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you. It is a light to us, lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Lord, would you continue to lead us by your word? Would you teach us from your word? Lord, would you give us soft hearts today that would take in and receive and absorb? Lord, we commit this time to you. We ask for the working of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, let's read again the Lord's Prayer together. Matthew 6. Matthew 6. And Jesus says this, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues, at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This past Wednesday night, I just shared kind of something that goes in, happens in our family every once in a while when we go out to eat dinner. I used to ask Daniel and Micah, where do you guys want to go tonight? Let's go out to eat. And, you know, Daniel and Micah, they would, usual favorites, Moe's, Waffle House, maybe PDQ. And after I would kind of gather all the research and stuff, I'd say, okay, well, here's where we're going. And so after a while, when I asked them, hey, guys, let's go. Where do you guys want to go tonight? They just look at me like, Dad, we're not falling for that. We're not falling for that again. And now they just remain silent with a little smile on their face. I guess they've been burned. Thankfully, this is not how God, our Father, behaves. You know, God doesn't ask us to ask him something that he might withhold it from us. God invites us to ask. He invites us to pray. He teaches this then is how you should pray, because God is eager. He's eager to give. He is eager to give. If you ask for forgiveness, you will receive. Isn't that awesome? If you ask for forgiveness, you will receive. Psalm 86:5, the psalm writer, he prays, for you, Lord, you're good. You're abounding in love. You are eager to forgive. Lord, you are good. You are eager to forgive. When you pray like this: forgive us our debts. We're going to unpack this prayer this morning. Debt is one of several words that is used for sin in the New Testament. And so one of the words, we know the meaning of this, is from the Greek word hamartia. And hamartia means to miss the mark of God's standard. Okay, and so that's one definition of sin that we find in the New Testament. And then there's another Greek word, parabasis. And it literally means to like step across the line, to step too far, to go beyond the border of what God intends you to do, of what he has declared to be right and good. Then there's another Greek verb that comes up when talking about sin. It's the Greek verb anomia. And the word namia or namos is law. And you put an A in front of that, you get anomia, and that means lawlessness. And so this definition, this meaning of rebellion against God, of breaking his law. And so sin is all of this, to miss the mark, to step over the line, to rebel against God. And then fourth, there's another word, and it's the word that is translated trespass. Okay, and we see that in verses 14 and 15 of our passage this morning. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And we're going to look at these verses later in the coming weeks. But what does it mean when you see a sign that says do not trespass or no trespassing? It means don't enter here, right? And so trespass, it literally means, taking a false step. You're going where you shouldn't go, falling into something that you shouldn't do. And so the Bible describes sin in all of these ways. And then there's a fifth one, debt. And that's where we are this morning in front of us in our passage. Father, he teaches, pray like this: Father, forgive us our debts. As God's creation, as God's children, we owe God obedience, right? We owe him honesty. We owe him purity and holiness. What does God say? God says, be holy as I am holy. And yet instead of obedience and a life of righteousness, we miss the mark. We rebel against him. We step out of the borders of his will for us. We cross the line. We do our own thing, the things we know we should do, we don't do. And so instead of giving to God what we really owe, we actually build up debt in our lives. And so the debt is all of our sin that we can't pay for. And yet it's debt that must be paid for. And the good news is Jesus Christ, he paid the debt, didn't he? And he offers to put his credit, everything that he did, all the good that he did, into the account of your life. You know, Jesus tells the story in Matthew chapter 18 about a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. And so he called in, you know, all the different masters to bring in the servants to settle these accounts. And when he began to settle these accounts, one of the servants came in who owed him 10,000 talents. Do you know how much one talent was worth? One talent was worth 20 years of wages. Okay, day labor. It would take him about 20 years to earn a talent. What does Jesus say? This guy, this servant came in who owed how many? 10,000 talents. And Jesus's, you know, purpose, his focus, his meaning in this parable is to say, this servant, he owed a debt that was impossible to pay. And what happens? The servant, he falls on his knees. The servant, he begs his master for mercy. He says, be patient with me. You know, over time, I guess, I'll pay it back. And Jesus says, the master, out of pity for him, out of pity for him, not that he thought the servant would actually pay back the debt, but out of pity for him, he released him. He released him, the verse says, and forgave the debt. Forgive us our debts. Jesus teaches us. He tells us to pray this. We have a debt that only Jesus can forgive, because Jesus paid it with his own life. Jesus says, when you come before God, pray to God, I've missed the mark. I've stepped over the line. I've willfully rebelled against you. I've gone where I shouldn't have gone. I've stumbled. I have fallen. I have incurred a massive debt that I cannot pay. Here's the thing. Just ask him to forgive, and he will. Wow. And he will. Now, what does forgive mean? Well, this is an interesting word, and you find it kind of all over the place in the New Testament. And it's used in a variety of situations. It's the Greek word aphiami. I may have said that wrong, but you can look it up. Aphiami. Aphiami. And it's all over the New Testament. And it's in situations maybe you wouldn't expect, but it really shows you the meaning of what this word forgive means. Do you remember when Simon Peter and Andrew, they're called by the Lord Jesus to follow him, and Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, they left their nets. That's the word forgive. They left their nets. They released their nets, and they followed him. That's the same word for forgive. Do you remember when Peter, this is in Matthew chapter 19, when Peter says, Lord Jesus, we've followed you, and we have left everything. You know, how are you going to take care of us? Peter says, what's in it for us? When Peter says, we have left, we've released, we've laid down everything, that is the verb. Forgive, aphia me. They released, they let down, they left behind. Forgiveness is this. God releases. God releases our sins from us. You know, those things that God could count against us, he doesn't count against us. He releases from us. You know, I don't know those things in your life, I know those things in my life that I still kind of think about and regret and just feel guilty about. And maybe in the middle of the day, you know, it's these things just come to your mind and you think, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I wish I could have that day back. I wish I wouldn't have said that. I wish things wouldn't have happened in that way. Jesus says, when you pray, pray like this. Forgive us our debts. God is so eager to release that burden from you, to separate it from you, to lay it down, to lay it out, to put it out of your life. Why would we keep carrying a burden, you know, that God is so eager? He is so eager to forgive. There's an illustration that I've used before, but I think some of you haven't heard. I think it just so powerfully illustrates the depth of God's forgiveness and how God credits Jesus's righteousness and what he did to the account of our life. And it's a story I got from a preacher named Duke Kwan, and he says, I want you to imagine, you know, that you are in the midst of a massive courtroom. And actually, he says, it's the courtroom of heaven. He says, I want you to imagine you're standing there and God is the judge. And a feeling of dread comes over you as you realize you're the defendant. You know, you are on trial. And they bring out as evidence for the court your lifelong moral record. I'm telling the Duke Kwan story again, John. How you have lived, how you have been loving or not, and you're told the judge is about to run through all the details of your life. Everything you've ever done, everything you ever failed to do, every thought you've had, motive, desire, everything will be laid bare before the court of heaven, and you just want to throw up. You're so nervous. And then the judge starts reading, and you hold your breath. And the judge says, well, it says here that you've loved every person you've ever encountered. He says, it says here, it looks like you've never had a selfish thought or motive. Not ever. No trace of bitterness in your heart. You've been consistently thankful to God at all times. No grumbling, no complaining, only humility, only gratitude. And as you listen to the judge read this, you don't know what to make of it, but you know yourself, you know it's not you, and you feel the need to interrupt the judge, and you begin to stammer, you must have the wrong person. That is not me. Actually, I'm a selfish sinner, and actually you, more than anyone, should know that. You know, I'm selfish. I'm a hypocrite. I'm lustful, I'm lazy, I'm mean, I'm envious, I'm jealous, I'm proud, my faith is weak, I am pessimistic, I am negative, I'm hurtful to so many people, usually the ones that love me the most. And you say to the judge, whatever you read, just know that's not my story, that's not my record, that's not my account. And then at that point, the judge looks at you and he says, you know, above his glasses, well, your name is Jesus, isn't it? And the crack of the gavel echoes in the courtroom. And the verdict is read, and you hear the voice of the judge thunder and thunder with joy, not guilty. Not guilty. The defendant is righteous, perfectly righteous. You are righteous in my sight, accepted, beloved, mine. You know, part of praying the Lord's Prayer every day, Father, forgive us our debts, is that you would keep this picture in your mind. That you would keep this picture in your heart, that you would let this wonderful truth guide you and give you hope and push you forward every day. It is joy, right? It is freedom. It is release to pray, Father, forgive me, when you know that God forgives. And so that's a big part of praying, Father, forgive me. Father, forgive our debts, is celebrating and recognizing and embracing and applying the truth of your identity in Christ. And the other part is this. You know, even though you are forever forgiven in Jesus Christ, even though your sin cannot affect your position in Jesus, your sin does have an effect on your everyday relationship with God. Yet we are called to keep short accounts with God. It's part of keeping a healthy and a fruitful and a joy-filled relationship with God. I told this story a couple years ago, and I won't get into the details, but basically, I'm one of four children, and one day I got into something. I guess it was in junior high school. Some kids at school, I'll blame it on them, but they got me to do something I shouldn't have done, and it was one of the times I did something that I shouldn't have done. But I was encouraged to call some phone numbers that I shouldn't call. Anyways, to make a long story short, one day the phone bill came. And my dad, I could hear him from his room, "Who made these phone calls? Why? Where do these long distant phone calls come from?" And my sister, Amy, she's like, "I didn't do it. I don't know what you're talking about." My older brother, Dave, "I didn't do it." My twin brother, Doug, "What are you even talking about? I didn't do it." "Rob, did you do it?" No. I have no idea. And so the whole week, you know, there I am. I'm still in the house, right? I'm still my father's son. I'm still eating dinner every night at the table and sleeping under my father's protection, but I'm just burdened with this guilt, right? And I'm not talking to my dad as much as I used to. When he comes in, I go out. When he sits down, I get up. And then finally, one day, I just couldn't take it anymore, and it was early in the morning, and my dad was at his desk, still in his bathrobe, and I still remember it. And I walked in and I said, "Dad," it was me. And I just started crying and weeping. And I still remember, you know, my dad was not the most affectionate of fathers, but I still remember him hugging me and saying, "It's okay. It's okay." And it was his way of saying, "I forgive you. I release you." And then he said, "Don't do it again. Get out of here. Don't do it again." You know, I'm so glad I went to my dad, right? So glad I had that time of confession and asking for forgiveness. So glad I was reminded of his love and then hearing his instruction to go and to sin no more. God invites us in every day with him to keep our accounts short with him. You know, to be reminded of his love, to deal with those things that are causing us to avoid God, or even attempting to hide from God. Just ask. He will forgive. Just go to him. He will restore you. He'll remind you that he's covered it all. He's covered it all. Every corner, every detail of your life. Life on this earth, it's too short to live like Jesus didn't cover it all. Jesus did. You're free. You're not guilty. You're covered with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we looked at the prayer of David's this morning, a little bit of it during Sunday school in Psalm 51, you know, after he sinned, you know, personally, after he sinned against Bathsheba and Uriah. And Psalm 51, you kind of see the same sort of pattern in David's prayer, right? First, you find him counting on and confident in God's, you know, what we call maybe his judicial forgiveness, where he declares him not guilty. Let me just look at this just real quick. Psalm 51, where David says, "Have mercy on me according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow." And then he kind of moves in to the relational, the everyday relationship with God. "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit." You know, do you see in that prayer the way that David is counting on? He's confident in God's forgiveness, that God will clean him up and wash him and declare him not guilty. And then there's the relational, renew a right spirit within me. You know, push me forward in your grace, in your power. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me with a willing spirit. There's a little bit of all of that in that short prayer. Father, forgive us our debts. It's a daily restoration, you know, of joy and confidence and hope that God wants us to have. And David got this. You know, God's inviting us to pray. Come to me, ask, and I will forgive. Let me renew a right spirit within you. Let me uphold you with a willing spirit. Let me restore unto you the joy of your salvation. You know, Jesus, he looks at us and he knows, you're a sinner. I forgive. You're a sinner, I forgive. Instead of going your own way, instead of doing your own thing, come and be honest and be open and be real before me and keep your accounts short and learn to walk with me in my grace and my love. Know the embrace of my love. Let me be your life. Let me be your desires and your identity. Let me be your thoughts. You know, let me be your friend. You know, next week, we're going to continue. I was thinking we'd do this whole prayer this morning. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We've got more to do, actually, in this first phrase, and we're going to look at it more next week. But it's interesting, as with many of the verses here, this is a plural verse. Right? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And that's kind of the way the Lord's Prayer is actually our Father in heaven. You know, give us this day our daily bread. And so this prayer of confession, forgive, is very personal, right? It hits right in our lives. But also there is this sense of a corporate prayer, right? Of praying this together. And so we're going to talk about this next week. What does it mean to pray this prayer, confess, you know, to forgive us our sins as a community, as a church? Do we ever see that in the Bible? And so we're going to look at this next week. I just close with this. You know, the world, you know, the world would tell us you don't need to be honest about your sin. Okay, the world would tell us you can just brush it away and forget about it. You don't need to deal with it. And Jesus says, it's okay, come to me. Every day, daily, you know, not that you would beat yourself up over the head about your sin, but that every day you would get a filling and a refilling of my love. And instead of this other stuff becoming your identity, that more and more each day, that I would become your identity and your desire and your joy. God is so eager to forgive. God is so eager to demonstrate his abundant love for you. Jesus says, pray then like this, forgive us our debts, and he will forgive. Let's pray. Our Lord God, we thank you for your wonderful love. And Lord God, we thank you for sending us Jesus to set us free. Lord, I pray that each day that we would take hold and embrace and give much glory to our wonderful Savior Jesus. Lord, each one of us, Lord, we just want to ask you personally, Lord, would you forgive us? Lord, would you release the burden of our sins from us? And Lord, would you fill the account of our lives with the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Lord, I pray that we would leave here this morning, that we would begin this new week celebrating your love, celebrating your faithfulness, celebrating your grace, and living for you. We pray this in the name of our good Savior, our good Shepherd, the resurrection and the life, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.